Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. It may come as a surprise to you, but there are some who are really confused about the second coming of Jesus Christ. You might think I am talking of non-believers, but I am not. Among those who call themselves Christians, there are some who are really confused about the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's a real head scratcher for me because the Bible presents multiple verses to show there will be a second coming of Jesus Christ that is yet future. Some of these people think this way because of the Greek words that are used. They look at words such as erchomai, which, depending upon context, can mean both go and come, and parousia, which can mean coming or presence. They look at passages that discuss the coming of Christ and decide those passages mean Jesus is going or is gone, or that Jesus is not coming because he is already present with us. If we think about the English usage of the words go and come, it is equally correct to say that a person comes to a friend's house or that a person goes to a friend's house. What changes is the position of the speaker. If we say a person comes to a friend's house in relation to the person traveling to the friend's house, we are closer to the friend's house than the person traveling. And if we say a person goes to a friend's house, the person is closer to the friend's house than we are. What changes is perspective, not what happens. Similarly, the differences between coming and presence are not as great as it might seem. For instance, it could be said that a person comes to a friend or that a person presents himself to a friend. While Jesus is present with us spiritually, there remains a second coming of Jesus Christ that happens at a yet future date. When I hear concepts that fly in the face of what is in the Bible, I think of a few verses. First, the Bible tells us to avoid disputes over doubtful things. We don't have to be rude to people who read the same Bible we do and come up with a different conclusion, and neither do we need to agree with them. Romans 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. We need to hold fast to what the Bible teaches. The more we start relying on extensive explanations of why the Bible doesn't really mean what it says, the more likely we are to be wrong. Titus 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. We are also taught to stand fast and hold the traditions that were taught through the Old and New Testaments. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Standing fast and holding the traditions which are taught through the Old and New Testaments, let's look at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Paul reminded the Thessalonians of the coming of Jesus Christ and are gathering together with him. Some might look at this passage and think it supports the idea that the coming of Jesus Christ only refers to his current spiritual presence with us. And yet we will later look at other passages which show we gather with Jesus Christ in the sky. What Paul shows in his second letter to the Thessalonians is there will be those who, through an act of God, believe a lie instead of the truth because they prefer unrighteousness instead of the truth. Think about it. If Jesus Christ is already returned, then looking at the world in which we live, one could reasonably conclude that Jesus Christ is fine with all the unrighteousness we have in the world around us. We know Jesus Christ and God the Father are not fine with sin. And we know the second coming of Jesus Christ is yet in the future. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In Hebrews, we are told that though Jesus Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, he will appear a second time for those who look to him for salvation. The Greek word for appear, aptanomahi, means something that can be seen, showing that the second coming of Jesus is something that can be seen. Hebrews 9, verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Paul explained the return of Jesus Christ to the Thessalonians as something that comes with the trump of God, referring to the trumpets of Revelation. He added that those who are dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive at the return of Jesus will be caught up with those just resurrected to meet Jesus in the air. While we believe all of this will one day happen, none of this has happened yet, showing that the return of Jesus Christ is yet in the future. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, Even so to them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. At the beginning of the book of Revelation, we are once again told of the return of Jesus Christ in a book that was written down by John from a vision he had on the island of Patmos long after Jesus was crucified and ascended to heaven. John explains that Jesus will come in the clouds so that every eye can see him. When Jesus returns, it will not be a happy time because the people of earth will mourn his return. The translation of this verse makes it seem like those who pierced his side thousands of years ago will be there to see his return. Words were added by the translators, and the reference to those who pierced him could easily reference those who live in sin, who need the forgiving power of Jesus. Revelation 1, verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. The book of Acts makes it even easier for us to understand. When the disciples were looking up to see Jesus ascend to heaven in a cloud, angels appeared and told them that Jesus would come just as they saw him ascend to heaven. Acts 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto all the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. In his first letter, Peter exhorts the ministry to willingly feed the flock of God, having no agenda for personal gain, and told them that when Christ appears, they will receive an eternal crown of glory. The ministry does not yet have eternal crowns of glory, and the appearing of the chief shepherd that Peter described can only be yet future. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. In a second letter, Peter shows how the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night and melt away the universe as we know it. The night sky we look at today is not much different than the night sky that Peter looked up at, considering changes in latitude and time of the year. Since Peter's time, there have been celestial events, but none comparing to what Peter describes, showing that the return of Jesus Christ is yet future. Peter tells us in the last days there will be scoffers, people who don't believe what is in the Bible for whatever reason, because in their mind nothing ever changes and everything that is evil remains. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversations and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Jesus taught that when he returns with the glory of God, he will return with his angels and will come with his reward, eternal life. He also promised that some of those standing with him would not die until they would see him coming in his kingdom. John saw that coming in a vision recorded as the book of Revelation, and three disciples, Peter, James, and John, saw Jesus transfigured on a mountain. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Jesus warned the disciples that many would use the second coming as a means to deceive people, and made it very clear that when Jesus returns, It will be something that everyone will see, just like they see the rising sun. And again, when this happens, it is not a time of joy on earth. It will be a time of mourning, as if somebody died. Matthew 24, verse 23. Then, if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. We are not given the date of the return of Jesus Christ. What we are given is prophecy that we can compare the current day to. And when we start to see prophecy living before us, we know the return of Jesus is near. Instead of focusing on the timing of when Jesus will return, we want to make sure that we are counted worthy of salvation at his return, knowing Jesus will return at a time that we are not expecting. Verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. We must be spiritually ready for the return of Jesus. We do not know the day or hour, showing something yet future, and there is never a time to spiritually sleep. For us, there is no vacation from faith. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. In a passage from the Gospel of John, Jesus clearly shows he will come again so that we can be with him, and told us that in his Father's house are many mansions. Until he returns, Jesus is preparing a place for us. This shows the return of Jesus Christ is yet future. John 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Paul wrote in his letter to Titus that even though salvation is available to all people, we live in this present ungodly world looking for the appearing of both God the Father and Jesus Christ. And that is something thousands of years later, we are still waiting on. The return of Jesus Christ is something yet future. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. In his first letter, John wrote that we have received the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ, and that we are awaiting his appearance and coming, showing something that is yet future. Because if John were writing of something that had already happened, there would be no need to write of Jesus in terms of when he shall appear. 1 John 2, verse 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Later, in that same letter, John again uses the phrase, when he shall appear, showing something happening in the future, and then tells us we will be like Jesus. No person except Jesus Christ is yet a spirit being, so the return of Jesus can only be yet future. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. When Paul wrote to the Colossians, he explained to them that when Jesus appears, we will appear with him in glory, meaning as spirit beings. None of us, with the exception of Jesus Christ, are spirit beings today, once again showing that Jesus has not yet returned a second time. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, and the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Jesus used a parable of a widow and a judge to show that people should never lose heart and always pray. He asked rhetorically if at his coming he would find faith on earth. The coming that Jesus was speaking of could only be his future second coming, as he'd already arrived for his first coming. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? In the book of Revelation, the church in Philadelphia is advised that Jesus will come quickly and that they are to hold fast to what they spiritually have so that no man take their crown. We don't know the timing of his return, but we see a future return, because those who are described as being of the synagogue of Satan have not yet worshipped at the feet of those of the church in Philadelphia. Revelation 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. James writes that we must maintain a long patience for the coming of Christ, and that if we want to be happy, we must endure. Both suggest the second coming of Christ is a long time in the future, which was the case for James, who wrote his letter, which is thought to have been written about 12 to 15 years after the crucifixion of Jesus. Our wait today will not be as long as it was for the people of the time of James, but we still could be in for a long wait. James 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precarious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receiveth the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. In his first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul encouraged them to develop strong spiritual habits. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Paul encouraged them to develop strong spiritual habits because he knew strong spiritual habits would put them in the best place at the return of Jesus Christ, again showing something that is yet future. Verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Finally, at the end of the book of Revelation, Jesus tells us he will come quickly with his reward. When most of the prophecies of the book of Revelation are fulfilled, Jesus will indeed come very quickly. But in reading the prophecies of the book of Revelation, it seems like virtually are all yet to be fulfilled at this time, showing the return of Jesus Christ is yet future. Revelation 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let them that heareth say, come. And let them that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. As Christians, we need to be aware we might encounter some calling themselves Christians who believe that Jesus has already returned a second time, or are very confused about the second return of Jesus. And while we have nothing to fear from what they believe, we know the evidence from the Bible is clear and convincing that the return of Jesus is something set in the future, and something that follows the many prophecies of the book of Revelation, which are vastly not yet fulfilled. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.